News for Health presents To Your Good Health Radio. Here are Melanie Cole, MS, and Dr. David Friedman.
We are talking with Jason and Mira Calton today. Their first book, Naked Calories, shared a six-year global research expedition exposing the dangers of food distribution, factory farming, and food processing. Now they're taking things a step further with their new book, Rich Food, Poor Food, and showing you exactly how to make healthier food choices. Jason and Mira, here's Dr. Friedman.
Hey, welcome back. Great topic. As you know, this is right up our alley here. Jason, let me ask you, while you did your research for Rich Food, Poor Food, what was your aha moment? Did you have something that you discovered during your research that made your mouth drop?
Yes. You know, people ask me that sometimes, and I did. Now, you know, of course, you know, we do eat meat. So one of the things that I noticed when we went through with a food here, it's on page 107 of our book. It was the Hormel Natural Choice 100% Natural Canadian Bacon. It really made me think twice about just the appearances of food. It looks like in the package, it's in a brown package, you know, it looks really natural.
Right.
It's just Canadian bacon, but it's one of the worst deli meats we found. What looks like sliced Canadian bacon contains more than 30 ingredients, including sugar, molasses, corn syrup, brown sugar, honey, pineapple juice concentrate, hydrolyzed soy protein, hydrolyzed corn gluten, caramel color, wheat starch,
wow,
soy flour, soybean oil. This is just in Canadian bacon. And it's not just that food. It was, you know, food after food after food. We didn't realize some of the foods had over 60 ingredients in them. And that was really an aha moment for me, really how far down the rabbit hole our food has gone from real food.
Wow. And if you splice those 60, I bet there's another 60 or even 100 that's part of those foods.
Exactly.
It just keeps going. Mira, what's your opinion on butter? I know grocery stores have so many choices, and I get asked that question a lot. Olive oil, butter blends, I can't believe it's butter sprays, country crock, honey spread.
Ghee. Okay. Don't forget ghee.
Yes.
Okay, well, there you go. That's a great one. I love ghee. Ghee is just a clarified butter. I like butters, and I like all natural butters, preferably something from a grass-fed cow. Like Organic Valley has grass-fed butter every now and again. It comes in the green container instead. You want organic butter if you're going to have it, because that's not going to allow you to get any of the GMO feed into the cow. So that's preferable as well. Olive oil is fine to use in small amounts. It's our belief because it has too much omega-6, and omega-6 causes inflammation.
Right.
The American diet already is very heavy in omega-6, so we try to leave that out whenever we can. It's also not very good at high heat. We also like, you know, to use the drippings from, you know, we use our rotisserie chicken, and the drippings that come down below actually are the only oil that we put on our vegetables. And remember, sometimes when you're making vegetables, people want to steam them. But the micronutrients, some fat-soluble micronutrients in the vegetables, need fat in order to be absorbed. So sometimes it's just really, really nice to let the drippings in there, and that helps actually with the absorption of specific vitamins and minerals.
That's awesome. I know breakfast is considered the most important meal. What did you guys eat this Valentine's breakfast? What did you have today?
Well, we had our, we're creatures of habit. We had our farm fresh eggs that were laid probably yesterday, and we had our wild boar cut up in that. So that's what we had, and of course, organic coffee.
See, now wild boar, they're not in a fight. He's not calling his wife that.
No.
That's good. What's your opinion on cottage cheese, the Greek yogurt, the kefir, any of that is recommended in the morning?
Absolutely. I actually I love Greek yogurt. What's interesting about Greek yogurt is it's actually just jam packed with protein. One small container of Greek yogurt actually has the same amount of protein as an entire can of tuna. So it's really great, and they've proven that if you eat a breakfast that has a lot of protein and fat in it, then you actually stay satiated longer throughout the entire day and eat, on average, 200 calories less. So that's just great for everyone. Also, the probiotics in that and the kefir, what they do is they make it so that your gut has great gut bacteria, and because of that, you're able to absorb more micronutrients. So it's perfect all around. It boosts your immune system. We love it. We just want to make sure we're having an organic one.
Organic, because that's the key.
Yeah, you just don't want to get that synthetic hormone in your dairy. There, a lot of the cows are given RBGH, and what that does is it makes the cow sick and it makes humans sick, and it actually has been shown to increase insulin growth hormone 1, growth factor 1, which actually has been shown to cause cancer in humans. So you want to make sure specifically you don't get any dairy that is non-organic.
Yeah, now you mentioned organic, both of you, a lot. Is there a way that we know when it says organic, it's really organic, or do we just trust the label at that point?
Well, for the most part, we're doing better in the U.S. with our labeling of an organic product, especially USDA-certified organic labeling. And those rules are pretty strict. Now, of course, every food and rich food, poor food, we scrutinize with a fine-tooth comb. We looked at the label. We looked at the packaging. We called the company. We really check these people out. So if we've given you the steer here, if we've made it one of our certified rich foods, then you can know, and it says organic, you know it is organic.
And you know.
It's full 95% organic like is required by the USDA.
See, and that's good to note because, you know, we see the word all natural overused so much, and again, organic is also being thrown in there. So it's good that you've done that for people where they can have a guide and say, yes, this is legitimate, this is the real certification, not
right.
just
and don't
something.
Get fooled, because a lot of times people turn over the label, look at the ingredients list, and companies are tricky. They'll use one organic ingredient and put it there in the ingredients list so that when you turn it over, you see organic. But it's like one out of the 12 ingredients has been organic. So, and it's probably not the one that matters. So just be really, cautious of that.
I love is when a juice says contains 100% fruit juice, and then you look on the back and it says that the fruit is only 10%, but that's 100% fruit.
Yeah, exactly. Contains with or made with, we talk about those phrases in the book. And you really have to be careful, and you're absolutely right. So 10% of it is 100% fruit juice, and then even half of that could just become from fruit concentrates, which is really nothing more more sugar. So they can be very tricky. And, of course, they've got artificial flavors and colors and all kinds of problems with a lot of those juices. So just be careful.
Now, Jason, you mentioned a whole list of the poor ingredients. If you had to pick three, what is the worst evil? Where do you place sugar? I'm curious. Where does that fall?
Well,
is that in the top three?
Sugar is definitely up there. We have taken out sugar on food picks. None of them have sugar in it. We also have, one of the other ingredients that is really causing a big problem in America today because of gluten intolerance. So many people are finding they're gluten intolerant. We've made a lot of our choices wheat-free. All those banned ingredients, we've got GMOs, Olestra, counterfeit colors. I mean, we've just got so many of them. They're all bad, and the problem is it's not just one or two that are really going to wreak havoc. It's the accumulation of all of them.
Right. I know Dr. Davis, the author of Wheat Belly, wrote the foreword to your book. He was on our show a couple weeks ago. How does his belief line up with rich food, poor food? Is wheat one of the biggest contributors?
Absolutely.
So it is.
Yeah, the wheat does horrible things to your body. And the thing is, over 50% of the people listening right now probably don't even really realize they have a sensitivity to gluten because it shows up in so many parts of your life in different ways that you see it. It could be skin problems. It could be stomach problems. It could be a whole slew of different things. Besides that, makes you eat more, 400 calories more on average if you have wheat in your diet. It causes the visceral fat around your organs and your stomach to be grow, so you get that wheat belly. There's just numerous things in wheat itself because it's not the wheat that are, like he says, it's not the wheat of our grandparents anymore. It's a gene mutated that's now only a 2-foot-tall dwarf.
Yeah,
Frankenwheat.
It's like a Frankenwheet. Did you see the Dr. Oz show?
I have to cut you off, and we would love to have you on again because you really have such great, sound information. Thank you for being on the show. To order Rich Food, Poor Food, and learn more about the Calton's Blueprints for Optimal Health, go to CaltonNutrition.com. And if you've heard something today shared by the Caltons that a friend or family member could have benefited from, remember that our shows are podcast at ToYourGoodHealthRadio.com. You can get the Calton's Blueprints for Optimal Health at CaltonNutrition.com. This is Melanie Cole with Dr. David Friedman on To Your Good Health Radio. Stay well.